Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when presidents change in the White House, the vast majority of their staff obviously change with them. But there's one cohort who remain there, the White House residential staff. Susanna Jacob, a former speechwriter for Barack Obama, has been writing about their experiences for The New Yorker, and she joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Susanna.
How are you?
So how many residential staff are there?
It's about 90. It varies a little, but at the moment there's 90 people.
And what ranges of kinds of jobs do they do?
They do such a range. They are florists. They are operations men who move around antique furniture. They are ushers and pastry chefs and groundskeepers. So they take care of the house and the family's use of it for the most part.
And one retired during the Trump administration, but is there an official calligrapher there now still?
Yes, there is. And that person, I think the jobs retain titles that they had long ago, but the positions evolved to do a lot more than just calligraphy in that case. You know, they handle all of the invitations for the events and do a lot of event planning in addition to their calligraphy job.
Right. Okay. But still cool to have a calligrapher. Part of their, is that for place signs and that kind of thing?
Yes, for the name cards for state dinners and for, different events that the First Lady might put on. And so they do a lot of different things. They serve wherever is useful. They're sort of the ultimate authority on how this old and creaky house operates. And that means that they kind of can end up, someone who is a historical curator can end up doing a whole lot of different jobs beyond just being a curator because they serve where needed.
And mostly where do they work? I mean, I know that's a bit of a stupid question because obviously they work in the White House, but is there kind of an area underneath the White House or at the back of the White House where they might do a lot of their work?
No, it's not. It's a terrific question. You know, the White House is a main structure with two wings attached to it. And in the very lower corridor of that main structure were the original kitchens and basement were, which are now a couple of ceremonial rooms. There's kind of these offices made out of like former kitchens and where they used to keep big stoves that these resident staff workers sit in, and so they're in the very heart of the White House. But then during the day, they all spread out and do their jobs throughout the house.
Yeah, and a lot of them have worked there for a very long time across multiple presidents.
Yeah, I think it's something that's interesting. Certainly fascinating to me when I began working at the White House. That the reason they stay across administrations is because it's practical. The new administration comes in and the chief of staff is wandering around looking for his office, trying not to, cross the Secret Service by going the wrong way to get from the West Wing to the East Wing. And here is this group of people who know how the lights work and, how to set up cameras immediately. And so it's sort of a practicality. But I think what I found when I was working there is they serve more than a practical purpose. They serve kind of a spiritual purpose because the White House is a place where the pictures of the people that used to live there hang on the walls, and the china and the dishes of past presidents decorates the cabinetry. And so you have a real sense that it belongs not to one person but to all of us. And I don't want to get too sappy, but this group of workers kind of, they like ensure that that's the case. They kind of embody that independence. And the reason that Barack Obama and Donald Trump and Joe Biden can move into the White House all in a row and it can sort of take on that individual's identity and then shift is kind of because these people preserve the way that it looks and seems.
Now, but I assume every time there's a changeover, A, it's a massive amount of work for them, but B, Does that massive amount of work involve, moving out the previous president's stuff and then very quickly trying to make the White House, in as far as possible, look like home for the new first family?
Yes, it does. And it happens all in a matter of hours. So they will plan for weeks, but then ultimately it comes down to this short period between when the inauguration is happening down the street at the Capitol and everyone pitches in and is, you know, rummaging around and moving things up and down. And the White House is very small. There's only two elevators and there's not even bathrooms on the main floor. It's still about the size it was when it was originally built. So they kind of run around like crazy. It's this sort of miracle, but they always do it and they always make it home, just like you said, not in a kind of luxurious way, but in a very human way. Like a lot of what they do kind of is to make it feel like it's somewhere that's comfortable more than flashy. And I think that's a big part of it.
Would it routinely be the case that when the new first family move in, that they redecorate the whole thing, or they at least redecorate their own quarters?
Usually they do eventually, but you know, they move in and the clock is already ticking. The new president typically has things he wants to do immediately. That was certainly the case in the current administration, given everything that's happening in the country and in the world. And, so the resident staff tries to make it just basically comfortable, and so that they have the food that the incoming first family likes stocked in the fridge, so that it feels like home.
And what's fascinating, I suppose, about that is obviously, you know, each first family are different in what they like and they don't like. And whilst it seems that the basic urge of the staff is to make it as homely as possible, certainly through the Trump administration, for kind of understandable reasons, I guess, they wanted it to feel more like a hotel.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what's interesting is that these workers that I spoke with were very frank about their jobs, but they have a real philosophy of discretion around the first families. But certainly it was the case that the Trumps were comfortable living in a kind of hotel-like environment, whereas, you know, the Obamas moved in and they were still paying off their student loans. And suddenly there was this full staff of workers who wanted to do all of these things around the house. And I think, you know, but in the weeks between the election and the inauguration, the resident staff and specifically the chief usher makes an effort to reach out to the incoming family and asks all these questions, like what kind of toothpaste do you prefer and what are your preferences, so that they can have everything ready. But that's their ability to adapt to change in order to preserve constancy of the way that the place works and looks and feels and what it symbolizes. That's the whole extraordinariness of their whole purpose.
And the Trumps did bring in their own chief usher. Is that an unusual move?
Yeah, it's something I wrote about a little bit. For a very long time throughout the 20th century, the chief usher rose from the ranks of the resident staff and often stayed across administrations. That started to change before the Trumps, under the Bush administration. George W. Bush, the second Bush administration, appointed a chief usher from outside of the ranks of the resident staff. And then so did the Obamas, and then so did the Trumps. So it wasn't such a deliberate, there were different reasons why those people came and went, but it has started to create a different pattern where a new chief usher, and that person supervises the whole resident staff, has come in. So I'm not sure exactly how the Bidens will handle it, right?
Yeah, but again, some of them have perhaps a military background. Timothy Harlot, the guy that the Trumps appointed, has a hotel background again. Not very surprisingly. Though I apart from the changeover, though, I would imagine that kind of state events, state dinners, that kind of thing, is an enormous amount of work for these people.
Totally. And that was what was so interesting about the Trump administration, is that if you were reading the news, you felt like there was such unyielding chaos. But in reality, there was a lot of quiet at the White House. There was many fewer events. When I worked in the White House under the Obamas, you know, Michelle Obama would have an event for about healthy eating for kids in the morning, and then there would be a speech in the same room and at lunch, and then in the evening there would be a concert. So, you know, there's only two big ceremonial rooms, and those would turn over 3 or 4 times a day, and the resident staff would do that. And so I think that, you know, that it's important to understand that part of their identity as not serving just the family, but also serving the house and the American people, comes from their sense of, we're helping the family to use this house to sort of serve all of us. And that's a big part of their job, is using the house to as a stage.
Was that constrained in very much constrained in the last year, or constrained at all?
Well, certainly under the conditions of the pandemic, that it was totally constrained. But what people, you know, I spoke to resident staff workers when I was there, and then also since the beginning of the Trump administration, and for a long time, even before the pandemic, they would describe it as feeling like August, which is the quietest month in the White House. It's when the president goes on vacation and you can hear crickets. You know, it's so quiet often for a couple of weeks because the president is doing his business, you know, wherever he's on traveling. And so they described it as feeling like August all the time. And then I think it just got slower and slower as the administration wore off, because they had so few public events on a regular basis.
Yeah. One of our listeners has an interesting question. When they switch over the residences, do they change all the furniture? Because somebody wants to know, is Joe Biden sleeping in the bed Trump slept in?
I don't know the specific answer to that question, but I know they don't. They don't have time. They have something in the order of 4 to 6 hours. And the White House has a collection of furniture and objects, and sometimes departing first families will bring in their own stuff. And so the resident staff will move out that stuff. And maybe, you know, the exiting family took their sofa with them, so they need to bring up one from the collection. But it's kind of like a storage system, you know, unit. Like you have, they have accumulated furniture from all over the years, and they draw on that to make sure that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd feel icky sleeping in Donald Trump's bed. just because of where your mind might go in that particular situation. Susanna, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That article, as I said, is in The New Yorker. Susan Jacob is a PhD candidate at the moment in Yale and a former speechwriter to Barack Obama in the White House.
Moncrief on News Talk.